You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and 2 tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Broken records, the albums you wouldn't shut up about. Broken records, the music our guests can't live without.
Like Judy,
Barbara,
Liza,
Bette,
Betty,
Audra,
Bernadette.
We broadcast this podcast with hopes that someday we might get Patti LuPone.
Welcome to Ben Rimmelauer's Broken Records on Broadway World. I'm Ben Rimmelauer, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Daniel Nolan.
Hey, y'all. Today's guest is America's sweetheart, Cole Escola, here to talk about Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall.
Cole Escola is probably best known for his role on the cult hit Hulu series Difficult People, or his current run as the neighbor lady on At Home with Amy Sedaris.
I first fell in love with him on the Logo series Jeffrey and Cole Casserole and its YouTube predecessor, VGL Boys.
The best. Who could forget Sweatin' to Sondheim? Cole is truly one of the funniest people on Twitter, and his subversive solo shows at Joe's Pub in New York and around the country are propelling him to a bigger level of stardom.
And speaking of bigger levels of stardom, Cole is going to chat with us about Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall.
The greatest night in show business history.
Everybody lies and says they were there.
Everybody except me, because I'm too young. What has been your greatest night in show business history?
My greatest night in show business history.
Sorry. Show business. What has been your greatest night?
My greatest.
How would Dina Martinez say greatest night?
Greatest night in show business.
What has been your greatest night in show business history?
And as an audience
member? No, she'd be like, show business herstory.
Show business herstory. And she'd do her little...
I said
pizzazz. Well, that, of course, seeing Dina Martina.
Every time, greatest night in show business history.
Several many times. Greatest night. Seeing Ellen Green in Little Shop at City Center.
Me too, as well.
Pretty epic.
Yeah.
Seeing Barbara for the first time. Not that it was great, but it was just the first time I had seen her. So that was pretty thrilling for me.
Yeah. How do you think it was for her? Not that
exhausting.
Great.
Exhausting.
Well, you see, the thing about Barclays is in Brooklyn, but it's actually a very long walk from where the dressing rooms are to the stage, and there's no possibility of a golf cart.
And it took them quite a long time to put up my private air-conditioned tunnel from my trailer.
I spent half the intermission getting back to stage.
So my second grade teacher, Mrs.
Cranford. Oh my
Cranford,
God, that's funny, Cranford.
Mrs. Cranford, her son was... in Les Mis on Broadway, and I think he was the Angelos understudy.
It's Mrs. Cranford's son.
Anyway, so Mrs. Cranford's son. Anyway,
Benson Mum.
Les Mis went on tour, and I saw it in Oklahoma City, and I got to go backstage
and
the cast
to...
party.
Oh, as a third grader. He was the Angelos understudy in Oklahoma City.
I think he was on Broadway, and then he went on the tour
as the understudy.
Yes, and so when I saw him, he.
Where is he now, Cranford?
I don't know.
We should see if we can get him to come do it. Not a full guest
get
spot.
Him on the pod,
no,
yeah.
But just, you know, maybe like a drive-by.
Right.
Have we been talking about you for like a really long time? Is it just me?
The alert just went off on your phone.
Think about self. Did Les Mis get introduced to you, or did you discover it in your own?
I like how it's so hard for you to continue this. It's like so much effort. So, did Les Mis get introduced to you? I can see the effort and the energy you're having to put forth to continue this line of questioning.
It's just so hard. We have to talk to the guests. And the people in the studio.
In the studio.
I mean, when do I have time just for me?
Anyway, but that was a thrilling night for me in showbiz history. That's one of my thrilling nights in showbiz history was Sing Les Mis. That was my first Broadway show.
I get that. You know, I was recently, well, to be honest, last night at Broadway by the Beach in Cherry Grove, Fire Island. Fabulous Ben Cameron's Monday night, summer-long
Broadway sessions.
And there was like a group at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
We all got called up on stage. And I mean, it sounds like I'm bragging, but I really had the chance to play any part I wanted in it. Well, no, he was definitely not going to let me play Valjean.
And you were so gracious.
Or he was, he was also probably not going to let me play. No, definitely not Valjean. But I definitely.
You wanted Gilbert Thénardier.
I definitely had the chance. I don't know the words to Thénardier. I definitely could have had the part of Eponine. I'm not saying anyone would have been happy I did it, but it was mine for the plucking.
It's crazy. No one wanted Eponine, even Paige Davis.
Well, Paige was just, she wanted to be Thénardier, to be gracious, and then she felt that she had to stick with that. I respect that.
But Pixie also wanted
to. But Eponine was all mine to take, and I didn't do it because I felt
so
like people, you know, I didn't want to let everybody down because it's the best part in the song, you know?
Right,
And when I say everybody, I mean this chick right here.
Yes. Because I feel like I was like, oh, my daughter's up there, about to perform her big number.
Because,
and then,
you know,
and
those,
then
those Kaho Shimada queens will come for you.
Will come for you. So, yeah, and I was looking so forward to your performance. I was going to film it and post it to your fan. And
he unfollowed me.
And then the song starts. You don't sing at all. You just wave the flag, which I was so proud of you because you were being so gracious to the other performers and just, you know, being ensemble.
Well, when they asked me, Ben, what part will you be playing? I definitely, at that point, could have just hijacked it.
Yeah.
And what did I say? I said, ensemble.
Oh, right.
They got a big laugh. Yeah. Thank you for not making me say it.
Yeah. I got a big laugh.
I also want to say, though, much like Patti LuPone, I'm an ensemble actor. I studied 4 years of classical theater,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
4 years on the road with the acting company. And I'm lyric-driven.
I wonder, are there any performers who say they're music-driven? Isn't that kind of like...
Linda Etter?
Isn't that gauche
to Maureen say? But see, this is the problem that it's gauche. If it was not gauche, more people would admit to it, and then words would have a meaning. And by the way, sometimes you want music-driven. Like, Linda Etter is not right for everything, but when she's right, whatever she's doing, I'm happy about it.
Right.
What she's, you know, I don't want her to come in and be like, I've been studying this, you know, Michael John the Cusa tune. Mm-hmm. Actually, I would really love for Linda Etter to do, you know, Michael John My Way. If anyone out there in the dark... Broken record. Well, we just could not be more over the moon excited to have Cole Escola, America's sweetheart, with
America's
us today.
Sweetheart. Thank you. Yeah. You know, people think Doris Day was the girl next door.
But she lived across the street.
She lived across the street.
And now she doesn't live anywhere.
No, she's dead. But she always played career women, actually.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know.
Well.
It's before my time.
Yeah.
You love Doris Day movies?
Cole likes all things that are old.
You don't?
Not until recently. Now that she's dead, I have a soft spot for her.
Okay.
But we're not here to talk
she's
about
earned it. She's
no,
earned
we're
it.
Here to talk about your choice, the most basic bitch album possible for this podcast.
Right.
Who would have ever
thought someone had to choose it.
Judy at Carnegie Hall. I mean, in your defense, everybody else was like, I know everyone's probably going to say Judy at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
Not Cole.
No.
You just took the mantle.
Also, in my defense, you know, I came up in Napster times and LimeWire, so I didn't really experience full albums.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be a really special album for me to, like, get the whole album. So,
And this is when you got...
This is, like, one of the only ones I can think of that I know.
Did you purchase it?
I came out,
day you go in?
No, truly, it was maybe a few days later, but amazing. For some reason in my mind, I thought, if I buy this... people will know I'm gay.
Yeah. It'll
so
ease
I
the
have
blow.
To come out.
I mean, that's so funny, but for real, did you think that?
Yes. No, I really thought, like, there were two things that I wanted to do. I wanted to rent Queer as Folk at Hollywood Video, and then I wanted to buy Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall. And I thought, for some reason, out of everything else I did in my life, that was pretty gay.
Maybe I mean, I remember going to, like, video, like, not video stores, what do you call it? Record stores. And, you know, I'd be like, excuse me, where's the vocal section? You know, and they'd be like, does anyone ever say that you sound like Harvey Fierstein? You know, and it would be like so traumatized. Yeah. But I mean, is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I would go to your Sam Goody's or what have you. And I would, you know, I would pretend to be lost in the, in the cast album section. Be like,
it's like in the, when you
Kid Rock. Where is there more Kid Rock over here? What? Guys and a doll? What? Let me just inspect what this... Oh, wait, no, something over, you know, just pretending.
I'm not into guys. Yeah. Don't play with dolls.
It's like going to look at underwear at Target.
Right, like hoping there's a picture of Faith Prince I can
jerk off to. Okay, but so what, like, what was your Judy? Were you already in your weird, like, TCM... like, were you like a fan of Easter Parade before you got Carnegie Hall? Like, what was the context?
No. Well, you know, I had the same basic bitch backstory. I was introduced to Judy via Wizard of Oz, but my takeaway from Wizard of Oz was actually Billy Burke.
Oh, go on.
You know,
queering even yes, that queen. Narrative,
queering the basic bitch narrative. So no, I wasn't. I think I'd seen Meet Me in St. Louis, but I.
Oh, I mean, like, how did you even know, like, Judy at Carnegie Hall?
I don't know.
Because I feel like I, who have, like, a gay, like, Jewish family, I was still getting, like, the Capitol, like, greatest hits collection or something, you know?
I don't know. I don't remember how it was just,
but
like,
you got
I heard it somewhere,
on CD.
Like, yeah, on CD, two disc, you know?
And so, like, did you put it on expecting her to sound, like, the way she did at MGM?
I didn't have an expectation, really.
How old were you?
17.
So you knew what an overture was.
I did know what an overture was, but that was the first time that it... I mean, that overture is just...
Epic.
I mean, can we unpack... Wait, we can...
Let's unpack the overture,
let's
baby.
Do it. Track one. Let's just
dun,
get
dun,
into it.
Dun, 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 dun. I listened to it walking to the train this morning, and I was like, never have I been so excited to be walking up Broadway. And
I like doing like cardio, running on a track, because every time the applause for the tune recognition, thank you.
Tune recognition, and also when she makes her entrance, the minute-long applause at the very end of the overture. And when it switches to Somewhere Over the Rainbow, like it changes keys with that, what is that, a trumpet? Where it's like da 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 da,
slow it down, da da da.
Yeah.
Oh fuck!
Applause, applause. I mean, forget it.
Forget about it.
So, I would go. I would play it in the bathroom. I don't know why.
What, like on your headphones?
No, on a CD player. I lived with my cousin at the time, who worked nights at a hospital. So I had the house to myself. I don't know why, or the apartment, I should say.
Yeah.
Paint a proper picture. I just preferred to have, like, the shower on.
Well, were the acoustics better also in the bathroom?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Were you conscious of, like, neighbors hearing it or something?
No. I just, like...
You wanted, like,
I wanted
privacy.
Full comfort. Were you, like, I wanted full comfort.
Were you
comfort.
In the shower, like...
No, I was. I would lay on the floor. I would run the shower.
Like a little spa, you know? Like
a spa.
Room.
Like a
hot
spa.
Water.
The true gay experience.
Hot water. Just like, you know.
What were you wearing? I mean,
just
were you naked? That's the question.
Ben.
It's not appropriate, Judy. Ben. We're talking about Judy Garland.
No, I don't think I was.
It was hot and steamy. I mean.
I don't think I was. I think I was like in my pajamas or whatever, maybe underwear. Yeah.
And would you listen to it start to finish?
The first time I did listen to it start to finish.
And what was your react? Do you remember that first moment you, or that first setting where you heard it? Were you just like,
Yeah, I was just like from the instant, like the from the overture.
You what know? Are things now about the album that you realize you didn't get then?
Well, one thing is like in the CD that I had, some of the patter was cut.
Right.
Like the story about the reporter in London. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I don't
remember
that.
What's the story
that.
About the reporter?
Like, and Judy Garland is not chubby. She's fat.
The headline said, Judy Garland arrives in London, and she's not chubby, and she's not plump. She's fat. She went on in her article and said, but she's jolly. She's jollier than I've ever seen her. And if you say anything funny to her, she throws her head back and her chins joggle happily.
I don't think that's on the one I have.
Well, so I...
Isn't it? Is it? It is. Hall?
It wasn't on the original something.
Release. The release, I probably have like some like scratchy CD that I uploaded.
Because this is
that's
real.
That's probably like, the one that I had.
When it was re-released, it was... added back, and then there was some
all you
sort
little
of
Spotify bitches are so
yeah it is out. It is right on Spotify but yeah that reporter story
Okay so sorry that what was missing for you about you just didn't have that at all
just didn't have it at all which was my favorite part was the patter like that was my introduction to patter I'm getting goosebumps on the back of my neck thinking about the first time I heard concert patter.
Yes and what a first
What are your favorite patter moments on it?
I love...
Besides all of them.
What I love about her is that she even... Even then, her references were obscure. Like, she was, like, referencing things that, like, from, like, 1901.
She says these ladies' names. I'm like, who the fuck is
She's
that?
Like, Vivian Delgieza.
So I've never known who that was.
I haven't
Did
either.
Nobody know then either?
Well, I'm assuming because, like, remember her Dick Cavett? I think it was Dick Cavett, or maybe it was Merv Griffin, where she talks about Happy Harry.
Yeah.
I think it was Merv Griffin, where she talks about Happy Harry, who was, like, this vaudeville performer.
Well, I think she probably told the story a lot, but that's on the famous, not Dick Cavett, what's his name? The one
Isn't
that
it
she
Griffin?
Was on three times.
Oh, Jack Parr. That's what it was, yes. Yes.
Three times. Each time less.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Marlena Dietrich story.
Yeah, but that's the cunty second appearance.
Yeah, That wasn't that cunty.
Well, the first one, she just looks fabulous and beautiful in the black little mini dress, and she's just made a movie or a TV show, and she's got the Happy Harry story, but it's all fresh, and she's you could tell they still want to fuck her and everything. And the second one, she's like very, she's like...
Who's they? Like the men on the show are flirting with her or something?
Yeah, or the audience or him. Like, it just feels like she feels fuckable. And the second one, she seems like...
That is not appropriate.
Campy, diva, marginalized by, like, you know, society, but still, like, sharp but angry.
Uh-huh.
And then the third one, she looks like she escaped from, like, the, like mental hospital, and she's, like, her eyes are in the wrong sides.
Oh, my God.
And, like, her hair is, like, great. Like she hadn't washed it on the way out of the house. Somebody went, like...
like, you know. Licked their hand.
Liza.
Yeah.
Oh,
Sure.
So, okay. Oh,
right.
Happy Harry, those vaudeville
stories.
So
the vaudeville
were old stories. Even then.
Yeah. And you can even tell by the reaction they get. Like, people laugh, but it's
like, oh, grandma, tell us more stories about the old days.
Yeah. I never.
Do you think that is a part of what her thing, what, like, that Judy didn't try to be hip? Or even contemporary or current, rather?
No, I think she was just witty and funny.
She's very
and
funny.
And on. You know?
Who was it? Was it was
Lucille Ball?
Lucille Ball, yes.
I'm not funny. Judy Garland's funny.
Judy Garland's funny. Yeah.
Right. Wait, somebody recently, though, was like talking about it, and they were like, who said this? They were like, I mean, she just sounds drunk or something about Carnegie Hall.
What?
You know, and as a Judy fan, you're like,
how dare you?
Well, I can understand. Like, the
right.
Palace,
Baltimore, even the bootleg. Have you heard that one?
Is that the one, Baltimore, from the same tour?
It's the
From
one
like
where
61?
She's like getting booed, you know, it's really sad.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah. I had that at one time and I think I deleted it.
Does she sound like she did that?
I didn't want to hear it. What?
Because normally when I hear stories, like, I mean, I've been reading all these like Judy biographies over the last like few months.
Yeah.
And like all the stories in the books about her having like really bad audience reactions from when she was like an hour and a half late or like couldn't sing or wouldn't sing or was argumentative. I don't hear about them treating her that way just because like they're mean.
No. They weren't. They clearly weren't just being mean. It was like she was wasted, and it was hard to listen to.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So that was not that tour.
Yeah. No. I don't know how I got that.
Well, no, but it's like on this record, it's the opposite because it's like you hear them just like tearing their hair out, like screaming for her. And it's almost a little weird, especially at the end, because she's like, oh, you know, they're all like wanting like another encore.
Yeah.
Eating it up.
Yeah.
Eating it up.
But you can see why somebody would say who didn't know her and like wasn't part of the like, you know, cult, like that she sounded drunk. I mean, she has that. Partly it's the old style of talking.
Well, that's just the way she sings, like, where everything has an R in it.
Yeah.
And an N.
Yeah.
And it's all very, you know, well, I.
Yeah.
Well, what are you? Yeah, you know.
Right.
You know.
We'll sing them all. We'll stay
right.
All night.
Yeah, we'll stay.
I mean, I always took that kind of like as her trick for keeping it sounding like spontaneous.
Yeah.
Which it does. I mean,
you know, it's very Dean Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Who also was a notorious drunk. I mean, the Sinatra at the Sands record, half of the patter are jokes about what a lush Dean Martin.
Right.
But wasn't that sort of put on a little bit too? Like, wasn't that part of the
persona?
Was that
for
he
Dean
was,
Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a great shtick if you actually are an alcoholic.
Yeah, like,
it works.
People think I'm a drunk, but in truth, I am.
Yeah. I mean, wow. Okay, so what about songs? Like, what are your...
Yeah, what are your faves?
Well, I love the piano moments and act two. Yeah. Yeah, those are my favorite.
Like, You're Nearer?
Yes.
You're Nearer, A Foggy Day, and
Foggy Day
If Love Were All.
Love Were All, yeah. Oh.
I believe in doing what I can, crying when I must, laughing when I choose. Hi-ho, if love were all, I would be lonely.
The three.
Now, the triumvirate.
And my favorite is, of course, now, if you're too bored, I could see something and... And then everyone applaud. You know, she's fishing for.
Yeah.
We have one more. If you're not too bored, listen. We can always get the best.
I mean, I'm such a cum guzzler. I was always like, couldn't even get past the when you're smiling and almost like being in love.
Right.
It's you wanted like, to get back to the belt.
I kept like listening to those 25 times before
right.
I could go past it.
Right.
Even though I know there's like San Francisco and Chicago coming,
the Marion.
I just can't get out of that. Like that when she goes back into like the retard of when you're smiling after the little like special material verse.
Keep us smiling.
And now I'm starting to think, you know, because she has she makes a joke about, well, in the, what would you call that? For San Francisco,
The verse.
The verse, right.
Also special material.
With the joke about Jeanette McDonald.
Yeah.
McDonald, yeah.
That's so, even that was like a dated reference.
Right.
Like camp, you know,
so
like.
Is that not the original lyrics?
No, I don't think
that's, that's Roger Edens written for Judy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And also, it's funny that Jeanette McDonald, well, because Jeanette McDonald sang that song. Because seems like the kind of joke she would tell about Deanna Durbin.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about
but
to
it's
say.
But Jeanette McDonald is the originator.
Right. But then it must have been like, I'm trying to think, like Madonna now, like making a joke about Kylie Minogue. I don't know, like who.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to think time.
It would have to be
like,
someone that
a 30-year-old reference.
A little bit before her time.
Yeah.
But also simultaneous, but then who hasn't stayed with it.
Right. Like, right. I can't think of any examples.
I mean, as if Madonna made a joke about Cyndi Lauper, maybe. But
I
mean, it doesn't work with Madonna.
It doesn't work.
I mean, it's just so. Also, now everybody's so bitchy and cunty all the time.
Right.
It's. it's hard to
like
compare
Cher making a joke about Edie Gourmet or something.
There you go.
Like, yeah. You're like, what? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I look like Edie Gourmet up here. Like, woo! You know?
I mean, I would die.
Right.
Okay. What about singing? Did you sing along with Judy at Carnegie Hall?
No.
Did you lip sync along?
And no.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it's hard to sing, you know, it's hard to sing along. It's hard to lip sync to Judy. It's also hard to lip sync to Barbara Cook.
Right.
Because their phrasing is so intuitive. It's not really like rhythmic, you know, so it's, you can't really stay on top of it.
Interesting.
I guess I'm just so amusical that
anything is hard to lip
sync. I'm only holding on to what I imagine their thought process is, because I have zero idea where the song is going.
Yeah,
otherwise.
Yeah.
So you never were like singing those songs. You like, I mean, I remember my first time going to karaoke in San Francisco, basically like that being like the prescription for the songs I would look up. And because some of those were standards, they would be in the system, but they wouldn't be that. For example, When You're Smiling would not have the verse in the middle. So
No
desire
to
do it.
You suddenly find out you've been deceived, right? Like, which is the best part.
The best part.
Which is also the fact that demeanor and subpoena is a rhyme is so crazy to me.
It's that old Hollywood. I mean, all of it, it just feels so Judy. I mean, like, if a husband
adding
tells you you're too stout, like, that was very...
Don't you part.
But I felt like clearly someone... I never picked it apart, but I definitely took it to mean that Sid Left or Vincent Minnelli or somebody told Judy she was fat. And like,
you did? I think you're reading too much into it.
No, I just, it all felt very hurt. Like, even the subpoena thing, like, I feel like I mean, doing the show with Lou Amers, all these jokes about her getting arrested.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's part of a tradition. And I realize it now that, like, I thought the tradition began with Judy, who was not arrested. But it all just felt so. I felt like it was her poking fun at her scandal or something.
Well, right. You can hear that moment where she slaps her own stomach and everyone laughs.
I didn't catch that on my...
Like, when she sings, like, if your husband bluntly tells you you're too stout, and then the audience laughs.
I had no idea.
Oh, wow.
Can we roll the clip?
Yeah, roll the tape. Yeah.
If your husband bluntly tells you you're too stout, don't you pout.
Amazing. Okay, but not singing along, not even lip syncing.
Did you share it with anyone else, like friends or family?
I remember there was this project in high school in my drama class where we had to bring something. It was basically show and tell.
Mm-hmm.
Like bring something in that was important to us and talk about it. And then we were to switch, like we were to take someone else's thing and retell their story as them. So some this girl named Ashley had to talk about Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall.
Hi, Ashley.
Do you remember how well she did?
I remember thinking she did really well.
Oh.
How did you what was the transition for you from when will I have the courage to buy this CD to like, here it is, class, this is my
just
share.
Coming out. Yeah. Like, and it was more like, now that's out of the way, like, we can admit that I love Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall.
So you weren't embarrassed to be...
a Judy gay?
...personality that you are. You were just embarrassed to be gay at all.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
We have tissue.
I need Liza at Carnegie Hall, or what?
Well, then I was like... From then on, I was like, okay, I love live albums.
Yes, okay.
Like, I don't want to hear any studio recordings. Mm-hmm. I want live. I want their voice to crack. Yeah. You know, what I love about Judy at Carnegie Hall is, like, the belting notes are all there. But, like, whenever she tries to pull it in a little bit, she cracks.
Like, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yeah. So then the next live album I got was from my high school boyfriend, Bernadette Peters, at Carnegie Hall, Sondheim, etc.
The
rest is history. By the way, the definitive, some people.
Yes.
In my opinion, I agree. Yeah.
Some people can thrive and bloom, living life in a living room. That's perfect for some people of 105. But I, at least not at your eye.
the Cass album?
It is the definitive Some People. My favorite Some People is Liza Radio City.
Yeah, but that's Liza. That's not,
something else.
That's something else.
It is something else, but that is my favorite. Yeah.
That's only tangentially related to Some People.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's only $88. It's not like I'm asking for a second mortgage on this place. What are you getting so crazy? Why are you getting crazy? It's 88 lousy bucks. What do you mean I ain't getting 88 cents out of you? Well, I'll get it. And I'll get my kids out. Go!
My favorite Cast album track of Some People is Bernadette's Carnegie Hall recording.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And then I made the mistake of Liza's Back.
Ooh.
That was my first Liza
album. It's a hard place to come in.
Yeah, that was my entrance to Liza Minnelli was Liza's Back.
Wait, before we dive into that moment in time, what was it like for you exploring that Bernadette album coming? I mean, did you already have a Bernadette context?
No, I had no context
with
Bernadette.
You hadn't watched Into the Woods?
Nope.
Wow.
You'd seen her like in Annie.
I don't think that I had seen Annie at that point. I maybe saw her in the Cinderella,
Brandy. Wow, so you came into Bernadette.
I just had no...
The album. That's great.
Were you a Broadway nerd? Well, you didn't know Into the Woods.
I didn't know anything Broadway. So I didn't care about Broadway.
So you were just like, this bitch is acting like she is some big Broadway cheese and I'm taking it at face value.
Yeah, I'm taking it at face value and I, it was because I was so in love with this guy.
But you knew she wasn't like a Judy Garland.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Judy's dead. I don't know if you've heard, but it's a pretty big deal in the community.
Well, it's just in 4 days. It's
tell Taylor Swift.
Wow, Ben, claws are out.
Claws are out.
My claws are so dull.
I don't want to get you confused. Let's
stick
stay
to
on
Judy.
Judy. Yeah.
So, well, Bernadette
and Bernadette. Okay.
So okay, and nothing to say about Bernadette though.
Well, no. That was the other album that I was maybe gonna talk about, but then I thought if I'm gonna lean into the. On the noseness, I might as well.
Yeah,
go for the for the nose itself.
I mean, mm-hmm. I love that Bernadette album so much. I mean, I'll say publicly on
record that's
my favorite. Some People, mm-hmm. a song from a musical that Patti LuPone won a Tony for.
Yeah.
My favorite version is Bernadette's on that album.
Yeah.
So I'm not being shady, but.
Uh-oh.
No, and I love that album so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the badly sung tracks they saved for disc two.
Oh, my God.
No. I really love that album. But did you notice then, like, there's, like, a coyness to some of the patter in a way that Judy so was, like, light years beyond,
For me, it was, like, a character.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, like... The dumb coyness, like the jokes that aren't even jokes, like although we both have religious names, huge laughter from the audience. That's not a joke.
Yeah,
like that's not funny at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's a joke in that it's because she hasn't said Madonna, so it's that winking reveal.
Yeah, but it's not a joke.
I mean, I saw her in concert in Cerritos in I want to say 1992.
Uh huh.
So. Pretty proud. It's like 4 years.
But even if you see her now, it's the same.
No, I know. But this was before that.
Okay.
But I knew that joke as something she does, Cerritos Auto Square / Performing Arts Center.
Yeah.
That, we drove 100 miles out
of LA. That's the great thing about her is you get the same show no matter where you see her.
Right.
Yeah. But I...
Vivian De La Chiesa jokes do not land in Cerritos.
But I loved it. I love how she knows... She knows... what works for her,
And then
Liza's back. Mm-hmm.
So by that, that was several years later, Liza's Back. I mean, at the least, very least I know, because I know when it came out, it was already 2003, so.
Right, well,
I guess you were very young.
I came out in 2004, I think. Mm. So.
Oh, so you weren't even fresh on Liza's Back.
No. But I remember... Liza promoting Liza's Back on Rosie O'Donnell? I think she did Minnelli on Minnelli.
Yeah.
Promotion then.
Yeah, Rosie was over already.
Yeah. God,
so why did you buy Liza's Back?
Because I thought, I was like, I love my thing is live concert right. recordings.
I mean, Liza has more of those than she has
I know, but
albums.
I saw, like, you know, I probably grabbed the first one or the mm-hmm. most, like, appealing sure. one. I thought, I read Liza's Back, oh, a comeback album, this will be even better. And now, of course, I do love it and I appreciate it, but at right. the time, I thought, like, why is this person allowed on stage?
Mm. right.
Allowed to sing?
I mean, it's so funny to imagine you in that position because, yeah. like, I feel like so, I have so much baggage with Liza. Like,
yeah.
How could I can't imagine what it is to listen to Liza's Back with no other information and just right. be like.
Going in cold, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine wow. that at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
The well, did you know, you knew she was Judy Garland's
daughter.
Yeah,
that was the only information I had. And so to me, it was like, oh, this lady is like riding her mother's coattails and has no mm-hmm. talent.
Oh, wow.
But then my boyfriend bought me Judy and Liza Live at the London Palladium.
Oh, what a mensch.
Our friend Ken calls it mm-hmm. Judy and Liza Live,
live at
London
the London Palladium. I think he stole that joke from my Aunt Arlene.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's calling.
we have him on the line.
But then I was like, okay, I get it. Even yeah. though then she can't sing, she hasn't quite found her voice.
She's yet. Yes, she has all the muscle and none yeah. of the brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Is that the one that Liza talks about on Larry King?
Yeah. Her mom yeah. in the wings.
Yeah. Watching her.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
yeah.
Woo. Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Okay, so how does this all, like, become part of, like, the Cola Scola, like, machine? Like, I mean, you were all this, you knew you wanted to be an actor, mm-hmm. or what?
No, I didn't know I wanted to be an actor until,
This afternoon.
I decided.
Congratulations.
No, not until way later, for reasons that have nothing to do with
Judy or Liza.
I guess in a roundabout way, they...
Did it come back? I mean, eventually you started doing solo performance and singing and stuff. Yeah. So did these things, like, come back into that?
Somewhat, in that my favorite things to do are, like, inspired by concert patter and and interviews, you know.
Concert patter and interviews.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stories about people that no one cares about and, you know, long-winded...
Dropping references blah, blah, blah.
And
I mean, one of the things I've seen you do that is, well, one of the many things I've seen you do that's so funny, but it seems so directly in this lineage is that, I forgot her name now, but that...
Maven Crawford.
Yeah. Right.
The cabaret legend,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who keeps introducing a song and never gets to the song.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so funny.
yeah. That's my favorite thing. Or like my Instagram stories where I tell, like, you know, that are like 10 parts.
Like old Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. Part
so
one
funny.
Of 6,000. Yeah. Part 17 yeah. of, you know.
I mean, those always remind me of like more like
Ann Miller interviews.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But she tells a great one about Judy too. That one.
It's a weird one where she's talking about weird. Like, she insists that the ghost of Judy Garland was on stage.
Oh, no.
Babies. Yeah.
No. Like, come on.
Or she's like, my earring, I was dancing. I never danced so hard in my life. And one of my earrings flew off of my ear, and I glued them on. My earrings, I know how to put earrings
on. The drag queen.
And I went to pick it up, and I saw was written on the back of a piece of scenery, the initials J-U-D. I went backstage. I said, Mickey, That wasn't me tonight. That was Judy. He says, and I know.
Judy?
Because he knew how to deal with Ann Miller.
The answer is yes. Yeah.
The answer is yes. Like, anytime she does
I would listen to you do an Ann Miller impression all day
absolutely.
Long.
Absolutely.
But I just want Ann Miller to know that if anyone starts a story with, I have a Judy Garland story, I'm so excited. And then when the... So her ghost was with me on stage
right,
is the
sugar
one
baby.
Way to kill my...
Yeah.
And it's not even a good show.
No.
Although Mickey Rooney, I suppose, it has some kind of connection.
Mm-hmm.
You have said to me before that you...
That I'm gay.
That you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
But that you don't like to sing just as yourself.
Right.
And yet I know that these kinds of albums are such a important thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
So... What is that? Do you just respect so much what they're doing that you don't know you don't feel you can do that? Or what is that about?
I don't know. I just don't like singing.
But you like singing as a character?
Sometimes. I mean, even Maven Crawford doesn't really sing.
Ah.
You know?
It's very Barbara of you.
Yeah.
I don't like to sing.
I don't like to sing. I don't get it.
When you say you don't like singing, you mean like the pressure of like having to do that as part of, like, a performance?
I guess it feels like there's no... It always feels like a cage.
Cage.
Like, you have to sing those notes. You have to sing that rhythm. Like, yeah, there's room for interpretation, and I guess some people like those... like, to figure out, like, an emotional... like motivation for
within those constraints.
Within those constraints, but I don't care about that.
Mm-hmm. But you like to hear other people do it.
Yeah, sure. Love it.
Yeah.
Marilyn May, sure. Sign me up.
Hello. Yeah.
But you don't watch them thinking they're in this cage.
No, not unless they're bad, you know.
Right.
At it, which a lot of people are.
A lot of people are. Mm-hmm. That's for damn
sure. And you just watch them just like disappear and they're dead behind the eyes and they just sound pretty, but it's not interesting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Or they're not feeling it, you know?
Yeah. Or some people don't sound pretty and aren't interesting.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's so much talk about all the pretty sounding boring people. I don't think we talk enough about the others.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you, I mean, is that, do you have like an inkling to like keep trying that, or you're just like too old now that you just don't care?
I don't care. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I like, my favorite thing is when people ruin a song. That's fun for me to do.
Like, what would that be like?
Just like, the way Liza does, where she just like totally, is like, totally disrespectful.
Like something like wonderful?
Yeah. Like, just adding words and like pauses.
Or some people?
Or like some people, like the patter that she adds in some of it, like,
You spend more
than
bucks.
Yeah, it's only 88 lousy bucks. You spend more than that down at the tracks. I seen you.
I'm not asking for a second mortgage.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's that whole thing of like improvising, you know, that people think like, I mean, it's like a film actor thing. I feel like
that's
partly where Liza learned it was like, you know, and then she took it to the
wrong
Yeah,
to keep it real.
Level.
Yeah. Mm. But I love it when people do that. And I have fun doing that. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know, I can't have a career on Broadway if I'm doing that.
Broadway.
You know?
But I mean, you could certainly do more songs like in your shows where you do that.
Sure. But a whole, you know, a whole 90 minutes. Of
I mean, what's that
songs.
Dolores Gray thing where she sings Rose's Turn and she introduces...
And they have a truthful quarrel.
Yeah, that's what she says.
And she says, Mama! Yeah.
I mean, I would love for you to do like capsule versions of musicals like that.
Well, I did have an idea. Well, never mind. I'll save it for later.
Save it.
No, tell us.
I did have an idea to do a show, a cabaret show of songs that were cut from musicals or songs from musicals that never made it. But the songs, of course, don't exist. Mm-hmm. Like, they would be original.
Oh, that's pretty
songs.
Funny.
I like that.
Right? Like when Jackie Hoffman does her song from The Addams Family.
Yeah. Like that. Like trunk songs. You know?
There's like fake,
but fake trunk songs.
Yeah.
And do it as like a wannabe cabaret star character.
That sounds amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, you know, listening to the Bernadette...
I'm working with Lisa Lambert on that as we speak.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
After you listened to Bernadette and Judy, like the live albums, did you then go and listen to like Into the Woods and...
No, I was only interested in live concerts then.
Interesting.
Again, patter. I just love that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's funny. For me, those albums, I think it was a lot like listening to a musical. Because, I mean, I used to, like, have my headphones. Mm-hmm. Like, I would get in bed and put on, like, a CD mm-hmm. that I would listen to until I fell asleep. Or if I didn't fall asleep, then I'd listen to another one. Mm-hmm. Especially when I started, like, smoking weed in college and stuff. I was, like, really wanted to, like, take the journey, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. And so I loved Judy at Carnegie Hall or mm-hmm. Bernadette or Barbara Cook or Liza at Carnegie Hall.
Right.
Because I would put them on and I was like fasten my seatbelt, like it was gonna have that experience, mm. you know. And the same thing could be listening to not every cast album, but shows like Evita or Falsettos or whatever, Les Mis, you know, where
right,
the songs
where you get to
really
hear
take
everything.
The story yeah. mm-hmm. with you. But that those didn't overlap for you.
No.
So then when you moved to New York, mm-hmm. did you immediately start going to see a lot of live cabaret shows
no.
or concerts? No.
No. I didn't really start listening to things until I was friends with Ben.
Hmm. And that was just Patti LuPone.
That was just Patti LuPone. But then, you know, you meet some of Ben's other friends. And
right.
You're introduced to Dorothy Loudon, et cetera.
Oh, sure.
But you do like to go. I mean, you mentioned Marilyn May. I know
you
see that kind of stuff a lot.
Absolutely. I saw Bernadette and Hello Dolly 3 times.
Thrice.
You know? Mm. Okay. Well, I also saw Donna and Betty and
same.
And Bet.
I haven't seen Betty.
Saw Bet 4 times.
Carly?
Yeah.
Are you really?
I'm trying to decide if I should see Betty 1 more time.
Let's discuss later.
off. Mic.
I'll go with. I'll wait, but she's doing it in Dallas.
But I'm definitely going to go see Carly.
Yeah.
And I did love seeing them all.
Mm-hmm. My first Broadway show was Kiss Me, Kate.
With Maren.
Was Maren's final performance of Kiss Me.
Wow.
So. I was like 13. She comes out on stage, gets a standing ovation, of course, because mm-hmm. it's her final performance. And I was just like, first of all, I went to see the show because like it was part of the trip. It was like a school trip. And so I was furious that we weren't seeing Beauty and the Beast. I'd never heard of Kiss Me, Kate.
Right, right.
Didn't know what Cole Porter was.
Yeah.
Except his name was Cole.
Yeah, and I was like, that's annoying. And then, you know, we were sitting like front row balcony. I had like my arms crossed. I was, you know, the overture started. I was like, I don't care about these dumb old songs.
Right,
and
right.
she makes that entrance in like the hat and sunglasses, like a star entrance, gets a standing ovation. She looks fabulous. I'm like, okay.
I'm sold.
Yeah. And then she was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah.
I mean, having seen Kelly now, my mm-hmm. fondness for my memory of Maren has grown.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is a hard part.
Yeah.
We were talking about this on another, yeah.
What's that?
It's so hard to find an interesting soprano.
Yeah, well, it's funny because they didn't used to, I feel like they would have, like Ken Mandelbaum talked about Patricia Morrison, the original, having like a trick belt voice. Mm. And I never really knew entirely what he meant, but I feel like, I mean, you wouldn't have thought of it as like a Kelly O'Hara soprano part.
Before. Right.
I mean,
right.
even Maren is more of a meteor.
She was just so funny. She was so funny. And I, you know, you're not used to, I shouldn't say it's hard to find a...
Sorry.
An interesting, what did I say? A funny, a good soprano?
Yeah. No, you said it's hard to, you said it's hard to be interesting as a soprano.
Yeah, because the roles are so boring. Mm. But that's such...
They're all ingenue.
Yeah, they're so ingenue.
But that character is so... I felt like it's never cast, even at the time. I mean, I love Maren Mazie, but I remember being frustrated. I mean, you know, partly because I wanted it to be Patty and they had talked about her for it.
Uh-huh. Well, did you see Carly do it?
Later. Yeah, it was very similar to Maren. I mean,
she is a true beltress.
But my problem with Maren wasn't really the voice. Mm-hmm. It was, and I believe she sang it lower than the original keys, Maren, which are not that crazy high anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't, like, I don't think, like, So in Love goes above, like, an F or something, mm-hmm. maybe even less than that. But, like, it's like...
Sorry.
Full of the receipt.
I'm gonna my butt plug out.
Yeah.
No, but it's like, but I wanted it to be somebody, you know, I thought of it more as like a, not Kathleen Turner, but like, you know.
Oh, right. Taming of the Shrew. You were thinking of that character.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and I think, I mean, it's the same thing with like On the 20th Century, I guess, in a way that like it's this like haughty diva personality, but with these like soprano vocal demands that. Those are not really
right.
To me, she pulled it off, but I was 13. What did I know?
Yeah. Well, look, now having seen this production, I I feel that way so much, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. But whatever. I mean, I don't blame this production on Kelly, but I don't excuse her either.
Wow.
All right, moving on. So do you listen to Judy at Carnegie Hall still often?
Not really.
No?
No.
Do you listen to Judy?
I haven't in a long time. I'm more interested in, like, finding new people that I like, mm-hmm. you know? Like my Barbara Cook phase, my Barbara Streisand phase. I used to hate her.
You used to hate Barbara Streisand?
Yeah, yeah, until a few years ago.
You'll hate her again.
I do.
I
Barbara Streisand.
I go in and out. Yeah.
Just like, well, tell us about your Barbara Cook phase.
That was when I got sober.
Mm.
And it was, the song was Ship in a Bottle from the London.
Somebody made me, they put me together with patience. And pieces of string caught on a crepe paper ocean, and never to feel the waves wash me and hear the wind sing. And I wait for the heart of a little boy sailor to come.
Because the song that made me love her was Stars, the Janice
Ian.
From the PBS concert.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's on YouTube.
And she recorded it on her As of Today album.
Yes, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Which is hard to find.
Is it?
Yeah. It's not anywhere. But yeah, I used to, like I said, I don't really like sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
Usually their songs are pretty, like, just sweet and pretty, mm-hmm, but not emotional.
Right.
You know? But was it you that I was like, when she sings in head voice, it sounds like chess voice or something like that?
Well,
or
we talked about
she
her.
She makes head voice as exciting as chess voice.
Yeah. Right. I mean, she has that really mixed sound. I mean, it's so does Marin in a way.
Would you call that a mix?
I don't know. I mean.
No.
It's not a mix. It's just like.
Effortless.
Luscious. You know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just her voice has that lusciousness. It's got a juicy, thick middle part.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in addition to whatever impressive high notes she had, like. There's a middle section. This is what you said, was that her middle section sounds like some people's high belt.
Yes.
You know, and if you think of her in the same universe as a Carol Lee or a Marin, it makes sense that there's a place in a Patti LuPone voice or a Judy Kuhn. I mean, it starts to be, you know, down the spectrum. There's like a lot of overlap.
Get out the chart.
The
sound. Get the chart out.
Yeah. Pull down the slide. The slide.
I'll show you a chart.
So did you know about, you said you listened to her a lot when you were getting sober. Did you know about her own Barbara's sobriety?
Not until, I think I found that out pretty quick, you know, read the interviews. And then, you know.
Sorry at a meeting.
Did you ever see.
At a meeting.
Did you ever see her live?
Yeah, I saw her at Feinstein's.
Mm-hmm.
Did we see her there together?
No, I went with someone else. It doesn't matter.
Oh.
It's funny. I was so wasted when I saw her at Feinstein's that it's like a waste. I mean, I saw her live a couple of times, but at Feinstein's, I was so, when I was really in such a deep place
bottom.
Of fandom, I wasn't even close to my bottom yet, but I was wasted.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I remember making a bad impression on Betty Buckley there.
Oh, shit.
Because she was there. She was a big fan.
Of you or?
Of Barbara.
Oh.
No, that was when Betty was at her least fandom of me.
I
think she called me a little shit.
Okay.
Oh, what a compliment.
I mean, I was honored that she remembered me.
Yeah.
It's a good blurb.
She didn't say who.
It's a good blurb for your memoir.
Thank you.
I felt that way when we saw Liza at the Liza's at the Palace. I was so wasted.
But with Liza, I think that served the experience.
Yeah, I know, but I would like to remember it. All I remember is Jubilee Time.
Jubilee
because
Jubilee
it was like
time.
So. It was so upsetting.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Not upsetting, but
I loved that show. I mean, and I was wasted and on God knows what those nights, but I remember it very well, and I remember going with you.
Yeah.
But I, I loved that show. All those Kay Thompson songs with the Smothers Brothers or whatever the hell that was that she did with Jim Caruso and everybody, I hated those numbers.
Oh, really?
And I hate them to this day. And I love a violin. I hate you those hate songs. Okay. Why do I hate those? Is that my defect?
Yes. That's yours.
Did normal people think those are as good as I am my own best friend and the world goes round in a Liza concert?
No. No, but...
The Jubilee Time and Jubilee, I Love Jubilee, a Violin. And I think there's one called Clap Yell Hands,
Is
that real?
Yeah. That's very rhythm.
And I don't really hate them when Kay Thompson does them. Because to me, the elegance of seeing this, like, bony, like, tall, sophisticated...
You're a misogynist. Say it.
Yes. Okay. But, But you love those Liza numbers.
I don't remember them. I just
no, but you've heard them since then.
Yeah, sure.
I want to get to the bottom of how you feel about those numbers.
I just think it's funny to hear Liza say Jubilee.
No, me too. I'll sit around for hours doing that, but I don't enjoy watching her do it.
Yeah, I don't think I've sat down and watched that concert.
Whereas I have watched the rest of that concert.
Yeah.
I'm not getting
all right, guys, calm down. All right.
Okay.
So, Cole, what other, you know, you said you're still looking for new people. What people have you discovered recently? Live albums or such?
Or live performances.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Nobody.
Well, Marilyn May, you said you love.
Oh, yeah, I love Marilyn
May. What other young kids besides Marilyn May have you been discovering? Well, I'll say it. Molly Pope.
Oh, sure. Like, people that are alive, yeah. But I'm more interested in finding people that are dead that I didn't know of.
Right.
When they were. I'm looking at my Spotify right now.
Yeah.
If there's anything. Nope. Oh, Vera Lynn.
I mean, you know. I know there's...
Joe Stafford.
Wait, she's my favorite song, You Belong to Me.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what's special about Joe Stafford?
Nothing.
Like, I don't think I would be able to tell her voice from a lot of those people.
No. She was just, like, a pretty, you know, radio band singer.
Right.
Know?
There's a lot of those good... There's a lot of good ones like that that I'm just now discovering thanks to Spotify. Yeah.
So what's your attraction to someone like that?
Oh, I just get... I listen to it as if, like, I remember the songs from during the war. You know, I like to listen to them.
It's Judy Garland's Ghost.
Yeah. Like, those were, when the men came home.
Right,
we were so happy
to
see them.
I mean, well, we should play the game.
What?
Let's play the game.
So we have a game we play that's, I think I've already told you about this game. It's based on Mary Fuck Kill.
Okay.
Dolly Concert Kill.
Okay, what?
So we give you three performers,
and
you tell us who you want to see as
in
Dolly
each category.
Okay.
On Broadway, who you want to see in a peak career concert.
Okay.
Any era.
And then who you want to kill.
Who you want to kill. So, obvious, I mean, we have to do Judy.
We have to do Judy.
And then
we have to do Liza.
Liza and Barbara Cook.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry, Joe Stafford.
And Vera Lynn.
Fuck. Okay. Barbara Cook as Dolly.
So, and what age, what year would you want to see Barbara Cook as Dolly?
Whatever the London concert, 91.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anywhere between any time during her concert years.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from Barbara Cook at Carnegie Hall to when she stopped performing.
Right.
Yeah.
But you prefer... pre-2002.
Yeah, yes, I would prefer I'll amend that. Anytime from Barbara Cook at Carnegie Hall to when Wally Harper died.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Judy in concert, Kill Liza.
Kill Liza.
Right.
Unfortunately. Here's why. I almost said Judy as Dolly because fucking cool would that be to see Judy Garland as Dolly Levi. But I would rather see Judy Garland in a peak concert than Judy Garland perform.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I've seen Liza.
And I think
Barbara Cook is a better actress than she got credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And do we all agree for the Judy concert, it would just be Carnegie Hall?
Yeah, or Palladium. Or not Palladium, Palace.
Mm-hmm. Which Palace?
Wait, what do you mean?
Because she did it so many times.
Whichever one was after Valley of the Dolls.
Like 67?
Yeah.
Like, fucked up, like Lorna Luft sings a duet Palace.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I want to see that.
Like in the stolen outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Judy, like at the palace because she needs the money.
Yeah. Her comeback dress, I called it.
That's a different palace dress.
Is it?
Yes, that's from the 50s.
Oh.
Well.
I don't know my Judy Palace then.
Yeah.
That'll be the next Fosse Verdon, Judy Palace.
Judy Palace. Sondheim Prince. Oh. Did you like Fosse Verdon?
I haven't watched.
You haven't? Either.
Now that they're all out, I'm going
to
watch.
You guys need to watch it.
I know.
You kids.
I know.
It's so good. For no other reason to see, well, Michelle Williams is so great, but
yeah.
I'm obsessed with Andy McDowell's daughter as Anne Rankin.
Oh. Mm. And who plays Liza?
It's not important.
It is to her.
No, but it's like Laura Osnes is Shirley MacLaine, and that girl is Liza, and somebody else plays another big... Those people like are just cameos.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like Anne Rankin is like a character.
Who plays Jessica Lange?
I don't know.
Okay, Cole, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
No.
No? Social media?
No.
No?
I mean...
Do you have anything you would like us to warn our listeners away from?
Anything on Broadway now. I'm kidding.
Hello.
I haven't seen anything on Broadway right now.
Nothing at all. Have you seen Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah. I saw that at St. Anne's.
Uh-huh. Did you like
it? Early on. You know, my seats were so terrible that it ruined the experience for me. But I still came away from it being like, wow, Ali Stroker.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And thank God for Mary Testa.
And
thank God.
The only one that I could hear.
What's the dream role you'd like to see Mary Testa in?
Ooh. Oh, God. Vera?
In MAME.
Well, then that begs the question.
Who is MAME?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. Tune in next week.
when we dive deep.
Decide who's MAME. Martha Plimpton? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
It will, hopefully. All right.
Thank you.
Well,
Cole.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
This was
great.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Ben Rimmelauer's Broken Records on Broadway World. For more episodes, visit Broadway World, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts do be.
Come back next week for Oscar, Grammy, and Tony-winning songwriter Stephen Schwartz coming in to chat about Judy Collins' Wildflowers.
Other upcoming guests include Tony Award winner Santino Fontana, downtown goddess Bridget Everett, and playwright/songwriter Michael R. Jackson.
This episode was recorded at CDM Studios in New York City and was edited by me, Daniel Nolan.
Special thanks to Emmy-winning composer and lyricist Lance Horn for the Broken Records theme song.
Follow us both, Ben Rimmelauer and Daniel Nolan, on all y'all's socials.
That's Ben Rimmelauer, BenRimmelauer.
And that's Nolan with an E, not Nolan with an A.
Because Nolan with an A is an ass.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.